Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. 6691. Blankers has to chill a bit. This team with only Tank could beat the Pats. They tossed the Jets, so we should have a little bit more confidence. My viewpoint doesn't really come from confidence a whole lot. Mine just, do we really care a whole lot about this game Thursday? Like, certainly you want to win every game that you play. Certainly, because the Texans have a commanding lead in the AFC South, that you want to play games in the playoffs at home. I get all of that. But short week, on the road, bunch of injuries, I'm not sweating Thursday's game very much.
No, I'm just being honest in the fact that I don't feel good about it, because of the fact that no matter what their record says that they are, you know, it's a situation where they have so much more to play for and so much more to lose than you do, and the fact that you are, you know, fighting through significant injuries right now and figuring things out. I just don't feel, and the short week, I just don't feel good about it.
Yeah, 713-780 ESPN.
I am sweating it a little bit, just because when you look at the upcoming schedule after this, there's the schedule that Joel, you know, the part of the schedule that Joel based his, I think, his nine win that turned into 10-win season once, you know, the back half with the Dolphins, Ravens, Chiefs. Obviously, you have before that, you have Lions, Cowboys coming up. Obviously, Cowboys don't look great, but it's a tough second half of the schedule. So any win over a quote unquote less than team, and at 2-6, the Jets have put themselves in the category of a less than. I don't think you can just breeze past that and not care if they don't win that game, because I mean, that's going to be, if they want to get to where we hope they would be, which, you know, could be competing for the number one seed, they're going to have to win games like this against the Jets.
Yeah. I don't really see one seed in their future. So maybe that's where I'm at. Like, it's, I don't see that goal being realistic. Yeah. So the chase for that goal doesn't really matter a ton to me.
The Chiefs are going to, I mean, it sounds like I'm betting against Mahomes, which is dumb. But the Chiefs aren't going 17-0. They're going to come back to the pack a little. I know, because the Texans have two losses. But that's my whole point. If the Chiefs come back a little bit, let's say they go 14-3, then that leaves the door slightly, barely open.
This is with your grandiose prediction.
I know.
In play.
Look, it's like a 1% chance, but if you're going to have that 1% chance, you have to beat the Jets.
You have to beat the Jets to have that less than 1% chance. The Chiefs are also in a bad division, and their schedule ain't great. Like, I mean, it's not difficult, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Buccaneers, Denver, at Buffalo's tough. At Carolina, meh. Raiders at home, Chargers at home, at Cleveland, meh. Texans at home, at Pittsburgh, at Denver. Texans aren't catching that.
Probably not.
Texans aren't catching that.
I guess I was overly realistic. I never thought the Chiefs were in play to catch.
Same. I agree.
I think that the main thing was, could you get to the second seed? Could you do something to where at least
the Jets to get there?
Well, yeah, that's part of it, right, Brian? But you still have to win. You know, you still have to win a majority of your games, you know, all the way out. And we know the schedule does get significantly tougher after the Jets game.
Yeah,
that's my point. I'm agreeing with your
KC.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with your schedule take. If you want to get to the two seed, if that is a goal, you have to beat the Jets.
713-780 ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Travis, you're in the Hive. Travis from Spring, my neck of the woods. What's up, Travis?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Man, we got to get that secondary working, man, because Richardson is horrible. They got Rodgers, Adams, and Wilson next. They got Goff, St. Brown, and whoever, Laporta next, and then Dallas after that. They got monster quarterbacks and receivers coming. And if they do what they did yesterday by letting those receivers over, Richardson couldn't hit a broadside of a barn. So, but these next three quarterbacks are going to tear our secondary up if they don't get that fixed. What do y'all think about this?
I'll give you the first two. I mean, Dak ain't playing his best football right now, but you can't take anybody for granted either. You can't look past anybody. The fact is that we knew that we knew when we broke down the schedule that the significantly tougher part of it was is still yet to be played. I don't think the secondary played bad yesterday, but I think that, you know, Jeremy and I've discussed this in the past about the fact that they're playing their defense a certain way to take away the strong point of the Colts, which is they're going to overplay the run. They know that that's their primary, you know, course of action that they want to take. I think when you play these other teams, their defense will adjust accordingly.
Yeah, Now the Texas secondary does need to be on their P's and Q's against all the receivers that he mentioned. So Travis is right, but a lot of what you saw really in both games against the Colts was game plan specific against Anthony Richardson. Whenever you're playing a team with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor, and because of the deficiencies of Anthony Richardson being able to complete passes, what are you going to do? You're going to play for the run. You're going to gear up for the run. You're probably going to have a lot of heavy boxes, which makes you susceptible to a lot of the deep stuff. So I'm not sweating the Colts game in terms of what that's going to look like versus the Jets and the Lions and then Dallas even with CeeDee Lamb. But Travis is right in the sense that you are going to play a lot of really good receivers and your secondary is going to be tested, unlike, quite frankly, they've been tested so far. Because who gave you the best test? Maybe Minnesota? Because Buffalo, Josh Allen completed 9 passes.
Yeah, he only completed 9 passes.
I think Minnesota gave you the best challenge for your secondary that you've had to date. And the Jets have more weapons than Minnesota collectively. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson's the best of that bunch, but the Jets are deeper. The Lions have one of the best offenses in the NFL, and CeeDee Lamb's a top 3 receiver in the NFL. Yeah. So the Texans will have their hands full in the secondary in the next 3 weeks. Travis said the broadside of a barn. What are your favorite sayings for a guy who can't like either hit a shot or can't hit
water from a boat?
That's my favorite one. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a
barrel.
Fish in a barrel. No,
that's more accurate.
Yeah, you're going to connect. Like you're hitting fish in a barrel because there's so many fish in a barrel that you're just going to reach down there and grab one. So that's like the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I like the.
He could hit water in a boat.
He would hit water if he fell off a boat. It's the one that I like. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 9780, sweating the turf. CJ got hurt last year. Some would say he was hurt prior to that game. Need no injuries coming out of Thursday night. Me.
I know.
Medical expert, Jeremy Branham.
Yeah, I know.
Just know I'm not a medical expert. I just read body language. I read body language. Do you want to see the tweet?
You read body language instead of MRIs.
I think it's the same result.
Well, I'm not privy to the MRI. I can't read the MRI. I'm not privy to it.
If they gave you one, could you read it?
No.
Okay. Just checking it.
But I'm not privy to an MRI. I could read an X-ray, I think.
But the body language can tell you everything.
A badly broken bone?
I could read a badly broken. The doctor's jobs aren't that hard. Like, is that bone broken? Yes, that bone is broken. Look at that thing. Why do they go to school for 10 years? Why do they have a residency? Is that bone shattered in half? Yes, doctor, it is. Anybody could do that gig. Try to get a doctor on sports radio, see how they sound. People are like, anybody could do their
job.
Anybody could do a doctor's job.
How do you know? I felt them.
Oh, 713-780-ESPN. All my doctor friends are gonna be mad at me. Fortunately, I don't have any of those. Ocho, BMAC.
Friends.
Yeah, that. Both of those are true. BMAC, honestly, I wish the Texans could forfeit this Jets game because of that horrible turf and because Quinnen Williams is going to destroy your interior offensive line again. Just take the L, heal some wounds, and get ready for your Heinies to get kicked by the Lions. Yeah, the Quinnen Williams against the interior of the Texans offensive line. I hadn't even thought about that matchup yet because it's Monday. But I guess we do have to look ahead of the Jets a little bit since that game's on Thursday. But yeah, that's a huge mismatch.
It feels like a 13-10 type of game.
It feels like a new left guard, but yes.
Yeah.
I do think it will be a low-scoring game. I think it will be an ugly Thursday night football, low-scoring game. 0584, why is Tank Dell blocking? He got chucked by Joe Mixon.
He actually had a good block in that game.
They pointed it out
on the broadcast.
But it was against the safety. He was a little further in the box. But Tank Dell is still very much...
Which I'm fine with those blocks.
Tank Dell is still very much involved in the run block.
I still don't need him in that mix to catch the fray.
He's always in there, too.
I know.
He's always in there. It's not a Tank thing. It's a Slowick thing. They do that.
Yeah, well, they need to stop.
And I think it's actually bigger than a Slowick thing. I think it's a Shanahan thing.
They want
their receivers to be involved in the run block.
I did like the interaction between Mixon and Tank after he ran into him.
Did you see what he called him? Yeah. What did he call him?
I'm not saying.
Well, you could say it. He didn't call him a bad word. He said boy. He called him a boy.
Well, but still.
I didn't read the lips. I couldn't tell.
I could tell that
he was like kind of upset with him, giving him grief, but I couldn't tell what he said.
See, I didn't think he was actually, like, obviously he wasn't happy.
I mean,
but
Tank
I felt like
to the sidelines and was kind of rubbing his arm. He was selling
it. He was hurt, I think. I don't think that Mixon was so much like mad at Tank. I think it was more like, hey, come on, let's get going.
Basically like telling him don't do it again.
I think it was more like getting them like focused. Like, hey, let's go. Let's be on your P's and Q's.
I mean, you're the reader of body language. I'm a great reader.
I do read body language well. Like, people think I'm being silly right now. I'm facetious. No, I am a great reader of body language. I took one class about psychology. I've had a lot of psychological help. I know plenty about body language. 713-780-ESPN. I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of these. No, we're not going to do that yet. I believe. What do you believe after this college football weekend? What a weekend it was in college football, huh? It was a great college football weekend. What do you believe about college football after this past weekend? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN. The winners, the losers, and all the best college football moments this weekend.
Goes to the end zone. It is a one-handed grab and a Texas touchdown by Matthew Gold.
Did you see it?
Keeper! Touchdown! Marcel Reed! The magic continues.
Can you feel it? Do you believe now?
You believe that? Do you believe that?
With the Killer Bees.
713-780-ESPN. What do you believe now? Is that a new imaging there? I saw you working on it.
I made it earlier today.
Did you listen to catch what the first highlight was?
No. I did. That one specifically for you, Jeremy.
What's that?
Was it the Coug?
No.
Was it the Longhorn?
Sure was.
There you go.
But who was in the highlight, Joel? That was what I did for Jeremy.
I thought it was the other guy.
No, it was the touchdown pass to Matthew Golden.
Oh, I thought it. Isn't there a guy, isn't there a receiver on their team?
There's
that rhymes?
Yes, Silas Bolden.
I thought it was Bolden
from the transfer from Oregon State, but that one was to Matthew Golden.
Oh, I thought it was Bolden. Look at that little Easter egg troll.
There's a little bit of a troll there.
That was the first time you've had it.
Golden in the highlight, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that was the first one.
Can't get anything past Branham. 713-780-ESPN. What do you believe now? 713-780-3776. Blankers.
I believe more than ever that this is the best year for this 12-team playoff because it is so freaking wide open. No one impressed this week, and it is going to be so fun when these playoffs start because of the fact that we don't have, like we've had just about every year for the past decade or so, that one or two clear-cut team that is dominantly above everybody else. Just watching all these top-rated teams, and now, you know, Penn State's quarterback's out and probably won't play against Ohio State.
Still beat Wisconsin on the road.
Yeah, I watched the game. I know how it works.
He's
out.
He's a little sassy today.
Yeah, he kind of is. He puts a hat on, and then he kind of goes incognito. Yeah, just because sniper guy.
I can't stand when people are sassy.
Really?
That's your role.
That's interesting.
But, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun playoff because of the fact so many teams legitimately have a shot.
Try not to be sassy. Yes, Blankers, it will be very fun. Playoffs will be very fun.
See, there's sassy right there.
Respectfully.
Yeah, respect.
No. Yes, the college football playoffs will be fun.
I'm just saying because no one impressed again this week. And if you want to talk about Alabama, blew out.
No one?
Come on.
No one?
Oregon was the only team that impressed me this week.
Notre Dame didn't impress?
Notre Dame. Yeah, okay, so they'd be unbeaten.
Texas A&M didn't impress you?
No, I don't think either one of those teams impressed me at all.
A&M impressed me.
A&M's first half was not great.
I think that you want less football, actually. I think you want the playoffs to be like four teams.
No, I don't. I just don't think that in years past when Georgia and Alabama were clear-cut about everybody.
Alabama shut out Missouri.
I think you're right about the clear-cut thing. If there's anybody that's clear-cut better than everybody, it might be Oregon. Although Oregon won a narrow game against Ohio State at home. So those two teams are probably equals. But if there's anybody that are top teams, I would say Oregon, Ohio State, and then maybe Georgia, and they just had a blip, you know?
Because I think Ohio State's in the mix from a talent perspective.
Yeah,
I think they got a ton of talent. But I think
survived.
The biggest thing that they have going against them is the fact that they play in the Big Ten. Like,
well, how's that going to hurt them, though?
I just think when you play SEC teams, you're going to see better defenses. You're going to see they're better tests. I think when Oregon blows the doors off of Illinois, I thought Illinois was grossly overrated.
Okay. So, that's what you're saying. So they're battle tested when they get to the playoffs?
Yeah,
I can see that. First thing that I believe from this college football weekend, I don't know who Mike Elko's talking to whenever he's getting a little sassy postgame. I thought the Aggies did look good. I don't think you can go back to Connor Wigman, by the way. Like, once you go to Malik Reed, that's done. Like, that's done. You did it once where you went back to him whenever he came back from injury. Now it's done. It's done. You can't go back to him. Big win for A&M. I believe they're very much in contention for the playoffs. But Mike Elko, after the game, throwing some shade, and I'm not really even sure who he's throwing this shade to. Can you help me out?
I think it's the way we talk to the young people. I think the things that we talk about, the messaging, how we bring really good people into the building. We talk about doing things together. We talk about culture, and everyone talks about it, but then we go out and we live it every day. And I think we back up our actions. We're very honest. We're very open. And this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running this program, talking fast and BSing everybody. This is a real program. And for all the recruits out there, this is a real place. And if you want to be really good at football.
Is Elko taking a shot at a politician? Is he letting it know what side of the aisle he's on?
I think I know exactly.
Is he taking a shot at his former head coach? Is he taking a shot at the head coach he just beat? I have no idea. The commenters seem to think that he was talking to Brian Kelly.
I 100% agree.
Who do you think?
I think he was definitely talking up to, starting with Brian Kelly, coaches that like to go about their business a certain kind of way. And he's trying to, you know, basically say that the way he's running his program. But he was all over the map, too. I mean, I think A&M still has a lot to prove, but it was a good win for them.
So who do you think he's talking to? You think he's talking to
Brian Kelly?
Kelly?
Yeah.
You don't think he's talking to
Who else?
Jimbo? Jimbo would talk very fast.
Well, he did talk, but he was like
an
auctioneer.
Very fast. But more people think it was Kelly.
I think it was Brian Kelly. I mean, obviously, your first reaction whenever an A&M coach is talking about your program is, oh, he's taking a shot at Texas. But what he's talking about doesn't really match Sark. It matches the good job there, Jeremy. It matches Brian Kelly about the way the kind of the con man coming down from the north, putting on the fake Southern accent.
Yep.
It screams that he's talking about to these Texas athletes who might consider going.
Like
to LSU,
a politician panders to their to who their target
exactly.
audience is,
that's
and
Brian
that's what
Kelly.
Brian Kelly's
that's
done.
Brian Kelly.
I don't think he'd take a shot at Jimbo simply because wasn't he on Jimbo's staff 2 years or the year before
he
took
was,
that?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to take a shot at Jimbo.
Jimbo was on Saban's staff. He took a shot at him.
True.
I don't think that's always the, you know,
I think
he
that was
take a shot at him because he was on his former staff. A lot of times you're on somebody's staff you can't stand.
But I don't think Jimbo didn't do anything to take shots at him the way Saban was taking little digs at Jimbo.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more Brian Kelly. The talking fast thing makes me, like, immediately.
But that is, yeah, because that's Jimbo to a T.
I never even thought about Texas.
I didn't
Texas either. Never
no, I don't
registered.
Either. But maybe this is a Longhorn. When you hear an Aggie usually talk, start the conversation about we do things the right way, you're like, okay, this is a.
It's a little paranoia, I think, though.
Maybe.
I think it's a little paranoia on a Texas,
but when you hear,
Texas guy.
When you hear the full comments, like, okay, I think that's obviously Brian Kelly.
All right, what do you believe, Brian?
I believe, speaking of the Longhorns, I believe the Longhorns' offensive line is a huge, huge problem. I don't know how much of that game you guys caught, but. The game ended up being pretty close because Quinn Ewers had two passes tipped that turned interceptions. Vanderbilt turned them into touchdowns, and it kept the game close. And that offensive line, I believe, got to Quinn four times. They hit him quite often, prevented a few other big plays where Quinn had to get rid of the ball early or the pass was inaccurate because he was getting hit as he threw it. I mean, we saw Georgia just absolutely annihilate the Texas offensive line. And it's really concerning because you got Banks is projected to be a top 10 pick in the first round. They've got a couple of interior offensive linemen that have 30 plus starts in their career. But man, they got whipped again by Vanderbilt, and obviously you're going to have a couple of A&M's coming up on the schedule. We saw what that A&M offensive line is or defensive line can do. So I'm worried about the Texas offensive line.
They struggled against Vandy. Vandy gave them a game. Vandy's better than people think, though. I think
they're tough.
Good.
Yeah, the quarterback's scrappy, and you know, that you're right. I think that they do have some talent, but I just expected Texas to cakewalk that team.
Well, that was part of it, though, because the offensive line was so bad. Like, it was kind of similar to what Georgia did in that they didn't. You look at Vanderbilt's scoring drives, they're 20 yards, 30 yards, 17 yards. They didn't have to go very far because the defensive line was dominating and forcing turnovers and giving the offense short fields.
What else do you believe?
I think BYU isn't getting enough love. I think BYU is a really solid football team. They're well coached, and I know that you're a big fan of their conference and everything. BYU is, I think, should get more flowers than they're getting, and I know they're on top. They're a good football team.
Yeah, those 30-year-olds are good.
I don't care how old they are. They're a good football team.
If they're
eligible, they can play.
I agree with you. They're a good football team. I'm right there with you. I'm gonna have a little bit more about them in a moment. I believe that Indiana is a football school. Indiana, the Hoosiers, they're a football school. I finally heard what their head coach sounded like. He has a very Mike Leach-like delivery. voices kind of similar, but the way that they talk, the delivery, the cadence,
the personality,
a lot
too,
of Mike Leach in him. A lot of Mike Leach. Now, they don't operate the same sort of offense whatsoever, but a lot of Leach to his delivery. No, I think that's done. What else do you believe, Ryan?
I believe Notre Dame is in the playoff. You look at the remaining schedule, and obviously they put a beating on Army this last week.
Navy.
Very unpatriotic of them. But they have Army coming up on their schedule. That game's at home. They have Florida State. That game's at home. Virginia, that game's at home. The only, I guess, slight test is at USC, but USC's proven to be a fraud.
How unpatriotic of you?
I mean, after the beating they put on Navy, you think the Army on the road is going to beat them? I don't. I think Notre Dame's in the playoff.
You're probably right, but still unpatriotic.
No. Yeah, it was unpatriotic of Notre Dame to put that beating on Navy.
What if Florida State upsets them this week?
That'd be amazing. So 1-7.
I guess it's not this week. They have a bye the week after that. That would be hilarious.
They're just awful.
I don't like Notre Dame.
I don't either. But not a Notre Dame guy.
You're probably right.
Their toughest game's probably at USC.
I know, and that's not saying much.
I think that's a losable game. Like, what do you think the spread in that game would be? Notre Dame minus three, maybe?
They lost to Northern Illinois. So I guess any game's losable.
I mean, USC's good enough to beat
that's
people.
That's at
though.
SC?
Yeah. Yeah, it's at SC. Yeah.
USC's good enough to beat people. Like, every single game that they've lost has been really tight. Like, their four losses have all been close games. Lost to Michigan by three, Minnesota by seven, Penn State by three, Maryland by one. Like, they beat LSU.
I know.
USC can beat Notre Dame.
You lose to Minnesota, Maryland, I'm not taking you very seriously. I know they've got up.
Beat LSU and you're not going to take them seriously?
I know.
They're capable of beating Notre Dame.
It was the first week of the season, though. I'm not taking them seriously.
I'll take USC over Notre Dame right now.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they got a quarterback that's in the Heisman race. Their offense can put points. He's right. Their offense. I watched them come back in the second half and beat Wisconsin. Their offense is capable of putting 28, 30 points on you.
I'm not going to give away value, so we'll have to wait because I'm not going to give you a straight bet and then all of a sudden they're dogs by six. That'd be very foolish of me.
That's fair.
What else do you believe, Blankers?
What do I got left?
Hugh Freeze is a gamer. Hugh Freeze is a gamer as a head coach. Did you know that he was sick, didn't travel with the team, and then flew up that morning against Kentucky to coach the game? And you might remember one scene against whenever he was coaching Liberty. He was in the press box in his hospital bed coaching the game. Don't y'all remember? You don't remember Hugh Freeze in the press box in a hospital bed?
I sort of remotely
remember there was like a Sports Center highlight of it. But
sure there was. I'm sure it made all the sports casts. Yeah, he was in a hospital bed in the press box when he was the head coach at Liberty, coaching the game on his deathbed.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this guy's a gamer. He'll coach whenever he's almost dead, Hugh Freeze. He didn't travel with the team. He travels up the morning of. He's coached a game in the past from a hospital bed. Hugh Freeze is a gamer.
Well, he knows his job's on the line
this
year.
He is a dog. He coached from his hospital bed at Liberty, though.
Yeah, I know, but Auburn's been terrible. He knows his job. His job's nearly over there. One more thing I believe. I don't think Oklahoma's even going to make a bowl game. Maybe this is me hating, but right now they're 4-4. So in the next week, their next game is against Maine at home. They're going to beat Maine to get the five wins. But you look at the remaining three games after they beat Maine. They're at Mizzou, which we'll see. We'll see if their quarterback's healthy. Mizzou, that could be a win if Mizzou doesn't have their quarterback. Then you have Bama and at LSU. I mean, it's looking dicey. I know they made the quarterback change back to Jackson Arnold. The offense looked pretty good in the first half before they fell apart in the second half against Ole Miss. But I don't think OU is going to make a bowl game at this point.
It's probably a good call. 2-4-2-2, I believe that the Aggies could win out, lose to UT, and still make the college playoffs.
I agree. 10-2, I think they get in.
But that's a pretty tall task.
Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. There would have to be other dominoes there, but I think it's in play, too. 9-6-6-6, I believe Texas versus Texas A&M will be more than a rivalry game. I think the loser misses the playoffs. I do think the winner will get in.
Winner's in. Loser
unless there's
would
some
have to
losses
have,
before then that
I
we don't
I think the
expect.
Loser could still get in if they only have two losses, but obviously a lot of games between now and then.
0-9-7-9, I believe Colorado can win the Big 12, most underrated conference in the Big 12.
Most overrated story that won't go away is people saying that Colorado is the big story in college football right now.
Well, they're ranked.
They're ranked and they're bowl eligible, and we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
You're kind of hating on the Colorado a little bit.
I get sick and tired of hearing them.
The problem is I think the math they're going to run into, because BYU is undefeated, Iowa State's undefeated, and K-State only has a loss, but they beat Colorado head-to-head, so it's going to be hard for them to get into the Big 12 title game.
Yeah. You're a little bit of a Colorado hater.
I mean, do something impressive for to be talked about as much as they're talked about. And then Deion's
pandering
for Shadour for the Heisman instead of his own guy who's already in the Heisman talk. And God, it's just it's a lot.
0979, I believe Shadour could be the number one pick.
I think he will be. Vegas at least says he will be.
Text me all the Colorado stuff you have. 713-780-3776. Ocho, I believe Wegman is still the best option at quarterback for the Aggies. The last win had more to do with LSU being unprepared to defend the read option than of Marcel Reed doing anything special. Plus defend, like, game planning. You're game planning for Wegman, and all of a sudden, here's Marcel Reed. That's tough. And then LSU apparently has had trouble with running quarterbacks. Ocho, Elko wins Suge Knight at the 95 Source Awards. Come to death row. It's a funny one there, Ocho. All right, 713-780-3776. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. Coming up a little bit later, we'll hand out game balls a little bit later in the program as well. But when we return our Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. What are your questions for the Bees? 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What is your question for the Bees? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRP listener line. Pena, what's your question for the Bees?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, so this morning I was listening to the people before John and Lance, and they had asked a pretty cool question that I wanted to ask y'all. So if Joey Chestnut and Usain Bolt got into a 200-meter race, and they both had to eat four hot dogs right before, like, if they eat four hot dogs part of the race, and whoever finishes first starts running,
yeah,
would Joey Chestnut win the race? Thank you. Have a great day.
You said 200 meters?
Yeah, he said 200 meters.
Joey Chestnut, easily.
And how many hot dogs?
Four. I think Joey Chestnut eats four hot dogs in what? 15 seconds?
15 seconds.
Probably. Usain Bolt's going to take some time to eat four hot dogs.
I would guess for someone who's not used to eating that fast, he's probably going to take a minute. Yeah. Joey Chestnut can run the 200 meter in less than a minute, obviously.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut's like obese or anything like that.
No, he's not in shape, but he'd get himself a big enough pad that he should probably win.
That's only half the track.
Yeah,
200 meters is half the track. Yeah. I might go Joey Chestnut if he ate two hot dogs. Half the track?
Usain can make up a ton of ground. Usain can make sprinting. It up so quickly.
He can run half the track in no longer than 45 seconds.
Joey Chestnut?
200 meters?
The Olympic runners run that 200 meters in about 20 seconds.
Yeah,
so let's say you double it
and
Joey runs it in 45.
Even if you wanted to go a minute, he could walk 200 meters in a minute.
Right. Assuming Usain Bolt takes about a full minute, which I do think he takes about a full minute to eat four hot dogs, Joey Chestnut wins easily.
I think the better question is one hot dog. Quite frankly.
I would take Usain in that situation.
How long will it take Joey Chestnut to eat one hot dog?
Two, three seconds.
Okay, yeah. Let's round up and go five. How long does it take like a normal person to eat a hot dog? How long would it take you to eat a hot dog?
15.
Like, if you're going as fast as you can?
Like, if I'm trying
fast
to eat
as you can,
15,
probably 20 seconds.
I'm thinking
seconds.
Like 30. Yeah. Let's go 20. Let's go 20. So Chestnut has a 15-second head start.
I don't think it's enough.
Because now you're talking about...
One might be...
Blazing speed versus...
I think that's the line,
supermarket
though.
Speed.
I think the line is Usain Bolt, one or less. Joey Chestnut, two or more. Because two, there's no question.
I'm definitely with you three or more.
200 is not very much.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you three or more hot dogs.
Two or more.
Chestnut win. I know, I'm just saying where I'm at. I think I might still lean Usain if it's two. Three or more, I'm leaning
four
Chestnut.
Four hot dogs, Joey Chestnut will be done with the race before Usain Bolt is done
100%
eating.
100% agree.
Before he's done eating. That's four is way too many. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Bees? Why is Tank Dell not more involved in the offense?
Well, if you mean blocking, then... there's no reason for it. I think a lot of it has to do with circumstance at the start of the year, the way that they laid it out, you know, with the three guys that they were going to have. And now I think you're going to see him more and more. But I think more so than anything else, there's a lot of mouths to feed. And early on, they were focused on Nico. He was leading the league in receptions receiving yards. And you want to, you know, Diggs is a guy that they wanted to make sure he felt comfortable. I don't think it's anything that's a knock on Tank. And now obviously he's going to be relied on a ton.
Yeah, I think it's that. I think there's a lot of factors.
What you're saying, though, more of a before Nico goes down? Because what you're saying, like, okay, he's the third guy, Diggs, Nico, all this stuff. Well, Nico's been out. He's missed three games now. I mean, they've had time. If they were going to make Tank a more of a vital every down part of this offense, someone who got the type of target share you would expect him to have based off last year, we would have seen him by now. It's been three games without Nico.
I think it's the offensive line. Stephon Diggs is still there. I think he's actually been more involved than people give him credit for. He's been targeted decent amount, not like 10 times or anything, but four or five times a game. He's been given the ball in end rounds. But I think the offensive line is the biggest thing. Like, look at CJ Stroud.
Four targets isn't much.
He had more than that, but there was penalties.
I know, but I'm going off your
also,
four.
Also, CJ Stroud last year led the NFL in passing yards per game. Where's he at this year?
I didn't have to look it up. I have
not first. Yeah. So if he's slipping in passing yards per game, if he's not throwing the ball as much, if the offensive line isn't giving him time, it's a domino effect on everybody else. 713-780-3776. Who is worse, Anthony Richardson or Jamarcus Russell?
Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, I think it's Jamarcus Russell. I don't even think it's very close.
Yeah, I mean, Richardson is effective with his legs. He can throw. We mentioned he can throw the deep ball. I mean, Jamarcus Russell was just a massive bust.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he didn't even like playing games. You know, like very, very few. Should we trade? We being the Rockets. Should we trade Jabari and give Reed Sheppard more time? I feel like those are two different questions.
Yeah. What was the? Should we trade Reed Sheppard?
No. Should we trade Jabari and give Reed Sheppard more time? I feel like that's two different questions because they're two different positions. Yeah. One's a backcourt guy. One's a frontcourt guy.
I just think if anybody's thinking that Jabari is going to turn into this superstar or really star player, I don't think that's who he is. But I think Reed Sheppard has the chance to be a really, really good player in this league. He might end up being an all-star one day.
Yeah. It's only been three games, so it's hard to do too much with Reed. But he just hadn't played a whole lot. Wish he'd play a little bit more. I'm not trading Jabari yet unless he's part of a superstar trade. Like, I'm not just trading Jabari to trade Jabari. Like, he's still capable. He's still a solid player. I'm not trading him just to trade him. 713-780-ESPN. Keith from L.A., the Dodgers are two games away from being World Series champions. Are you rooting for them?
Of the two teams, if I have to pick one, I'm rooting for the Dodgers. I said that.
Yeah, I kind of find myself pulling for the Dodgers. Let me finish, Brian. Let me finish. I'm kind of pulling for the Dodgers as well because of Brian Cashman.
That's part of it. Yeah, but I just feel like, and we talked about this last week, I just feel like the guys are more likable and you don't see them as much and you don't hear from them the way you heard from Cashman and their fan base aside from Keith from L.A. to where, and because my family is deeply rooted in Dodgers, that helps too.
I think they have more likable guys, too. Like, yes, Shohei gambled on baseball. I agree with you on that. And I like Freddie Freeman. Like, I like Freeman. I like Shohei. I don't know if there's a Yankee that I like. And then Brian Cashman running his mouth right before the World Series was the trump card for me.
Yeah, all the reasons you guys said. Like, the Yankees have no one remotely that I would find that I could root for, whereas Freeman, Ohtani, they seem likable. And more so, I find the Dodgers or the Yankees fans more insufferable, and I'd like to kind of revel in their misery. So I'm not rooting for the Dodgers. I'm just rooting for the Yankees to lose. If that makes sense.
I like the word you use there,
insufferable.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. They are insufferable.
They are insufferable.
Dodgers are just more chill. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's living in California versus New York. Like, I can understand why New Yorkers are angry all the time, and Californians are just like, hey, what's up? You know, I can understand it. I can get it. Because the weather's fantastic there, and it's not fantastic in the Northeast. Real quick on these. 3270, because Blankers just loves to talk about Colorado. Does Dion leave after this season?
I think there's a good chance. I said earlier in the year that he would be done after this year. I'll stick with it. I think he's going to go. I think that he's going to lose his sons and Hunter, and they're going to go to the NFL, and he's going to look for bigger and better things regardless.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm very curious what he does. I can't imagine him staying at Colorado just to stay there. Todd the Show loves Colorado for some reason. He says they have a five-star quarterback coming in.
He was there this weekend. They showed him. He walked in on a recruiting visit, the five-star.
I feel like he leaves.
I think he's leaving, too.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
And then who's to say he doesn't take the five-star with him? Right?
Well, the way it's set up right now. Unless he's going to the pros.
True.
Unless he's going to the pros.
Then give him a year.
Would any other quarterback come out because they were tired, NFL quarterback? I bet you it's happened before, but I bet you they've lied and said that they were, like, dinged up.
That's a bad look.
You gotta lie there, I think. I think that's the one time where a lie is the way to go.
And the team covers for you as
well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he got a knock on the wrist. Yeah. You know, like, he's fine. He's going to be perfectly okay. But, you know, only set out that one play. He felt something on his elbow, you know?
Yep. Like, you have better. There has to be a deep cover there because he's getting roasted.
Yeah, he is. You have to trade for a wide receiver. Who are you picking? That's kind of a loaded question. I'll go Justin Jefferson.
You're crazy. Puka Nacua.
Of the ones that are available, how about that?
Okay. Who are you picking?
Amon Ross St. Brown.
I don't think he's available.
You don't?
If he is, I'm with you. Yeah. But I don't think he's available.
Not after they won that game.
I don't think so.
You're probably right that the Rams aren't going to be, they're going to be buyers, not sellers, because they're in it.
Yeah.
But if the Rams were selling, that would be the guy.
Yeah.
Because who's selling? The Patriots? Not really anybody that interests you.
Yeah,
I would love.
They're not going to get rid of their young guys.
I would love Pop Douglas, but
I don't think they would sell him.
No, I don't think they would get rid of him.
The Browns don't have anybody else, and they might be like coming together. The Carolina has nobody you want.
I would like Deontay Johnson.
That's right. He is available. Yeah, so maybe that would be the answer.
What about Thielen if he was healthy?
I don't think he's got.
He's
much
a million
left.
Years old.
Yeah,
I could. I'd be okay with Thielen for a seventh rounder. If you can guarantee he's healthy.
Sure. Like, if
he's only a seventh rounder, then I'm willing to be a lot more open to...
I think I'd be okay with that. Who else? Who else would be trading? Yeah, we'll do this for a segment later this week, closer to the deadline. 4-1-3-3, best offensive line of all time, gives you a big hole. How many yards are you getting?
Four.
How many yards of penetration is the offensive line getting here? Let's establish that. Best offensive line ever, how many yards of penetration are they getting?
I think he's just more.
I think he's
more about the
hole
size than he is about. Yeah,
sure, but I mean, there's going to be an amount of space.
We're getting into it like this.
I know.
There's going to be an amount of space before you have a defender, though. Like, how much penetration are they getting before you run into a defender?
Well, we're getting into the minutia here,
it matters a lot.
I know, but the way I read is they open the hole. It's not that they're. It's not they went up to the second level and they're holding a linebacker that's five up.
Jeremy, they open the hole and it's up to you to get the penetration.
The C is parted and basically there's no one there.
There's still penetration, though. There's still penetration. They're opening up a hole. There's penetration. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's minutia here. But.
No, it's not minutia because if they're moving the line 3 yards, I'm getting 2.5. If they're moving the line 5 yards, I'm getting 3.
I think this is like a C's parted where there's no one there. Like it's like a crackback block and they just sealed it and there's no one there.
There's 11 guys. Like, where's the nearest defender?
Let's say it's secondary. That's the way I'm thinking.
The
nearest
level?
Guy is the secondary.
Well, I don't know.
But
can a linebacker, I need to see where the offensive line's at.
Yeah, but can a linebacker chase you down from behind? Of course he can.
Yeah.
That's I would say in a massive, massive hole in the situation. Phrasing. 5 yards.
Did you 5 yards?
5 yards. I think the linebacker catches me from behind before I get past 5 yards.
I think you're selling yourself way too highly.
Probably.
Did you see what Joe Mixon did yesterday on that first and goal where he fell down?
Yeah.
That's me.
You're falling even if there's no one in front of you.
Best offensive line
up.
Ever. They have a 7 yard push. They've opened up this gaping hole. Greatest penetration phrasing. We've seen it all time. It's not phrasing because I don't talk that way. I'm falling. It'd be a loss of -1. Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna trip.
I think I can get a couple.
Fall. I believe in you.
I think I can get a couple. That's it.
I don't believe Bremack's getting 5.
Yeah, I said 4. You're getting 5?
Well, I said 5 because you said 4.
And I'm changing mine to probably less than that.
Okay, well, then I'll go one more than you do, Joel.
Okay.
I like blankers in this battle.
Let's put it on the field.
Let's do an Oklahoma drill with others. Y'all should do an Oklahoma drill in the hallway. It would do numbers on social. It would.
You have to guarantee me the numbers, and then I'm in.
1,000 views.
We've done more than that on just show tweets.
Yeah, I get 1,000 views rolling out of bed.
Yeah.
Pessimistic Chad, remember in the offseason when Slowick was interviewed for head coaching job, 0% chance that happens this offseason. That's not a question, Pessimistic Chad. I see why they call you Pessimistic Chad. You don't follow the rules. Ocho, is 9 wins enough to win the AFC South?
Yes.
I think so. I also think the Texans win more than 9. 4-9's 5-2 also doesn't follow the rules, but he mentions a Cougar, so you're okay with me. Texans need to scoop up a Marcus Jones on the trade market, defensive back and special teams help. He would be interesting because he would help you in special teams. He's dynamic there. He's more of a nickel corner than an outside corner.
Don't you need that, though?
I don't know. How much do they like Petrie?
Jalen Petrie got absolutely torched. Well, I don't want to say it too much because we'll mention it coming up, but that crossing route Downs ran across the field. Petrie was in coverage and just got absolutely torched.
Yeah, I just don't know if they're willing to make that move.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying I think there is a need for the inside slot guy.
Yeah, I would rather have an inside corner than an outside corner. I love Marcus Jones. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jimmy from Webster, you're in the Hive. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys. Just to follow up on Pena's question earlier, how many hot dogs do you think it'll take to make Kenyon Green look like an old lineman? Because I saw an interview, and he looked really scrawny.
Really?
Appreciate the call, Jimmy. I don't think he looked scrawny.
I don't think he was looking at Kenyon Green.
Kenyon Green lost weight from last season.
Yeah, they were raving about the fact that he had tightened it up and got a new workout program,
sure,
and a different diet.
Not scrawny, changes, though.
No, he's never going to be scrawny.
Yeah, I actually think he looks better. I think he looks more like a pro. I remember going out to training camp a couple of years ago, and I was like, yeah, this guy looks doughy. This guy looks pudgy. This guy does not look like an NFL beast. This year, I actually think he looks more like that. So, yeah, I don't think he needs to be eating more hot dogs, unless he likes hot dogs. I'm not going to tell Kenyon Green what to eat. That's not his problem, though. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Joe from Beaumont, you're in the Hive. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
No, not much.
Hey, listen, I was just listening to y'all talking about Tank Dell. And, man, I loved Tank last year, and I was looking forward to what he would do this year. But I don't think it's a matter of scheming him in or out. I think last year he was supremely confident. He was open a lot. He found creases, and he was a good release for CJ. But, man, I'm worried. I mean, you can't see it when you look at him except for the fact that he's not open like he was last year. And I wonder if that breaking his leg on the field had some effect on his confidence in the way he moves.
No, appreciate the call. I think we talked about it already. There's just more mouths to feed, and there's more talent in the receiver room. And the fact of the matter is that CJ, you know, is going to go through his progressions, and it doesn't matter what number they're wearing. But at a certain point, too, they're trying to appease a new guy, and Nico is, you know, been their number one, and he didn't fall high enough in the pecking chart early. It doesn't mean he wasn't open, and I think he's the same player.
No, he's been popping open on film. Now, a lot of times he's popped open in the past whenever it takes time for the route to develop. And the Texans offensive line isn't giving CJ Stroud that time. And the fibula too, people were putting way too much weight on the fibula injury. I've broken my fibula, and look at me. I've bounced back. I'm as good now as I ever was. But in all sincerity, the fibula is a non-weight bearing bone that has zero effect on his athleticism. It is a bone that only gets broken based on it being hit on impact. It has zero to do with his athleticism, his speed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter on that front. The fibula does not. So that's getting way too much attention. You might think that Tank Dell's not good, or he's taking a step back. You might, those things are valid, and we'll have those conversations. But the fibula being the reason that it has set him back, it's a non-weight bearing bone. It just got cracked. It's not something that has made him slower or less quick. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Cecil, New Caney, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Cecil?
Cecil.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to ask the question. I'm loving all the conversation about the Texans and the Rockets. In regards to the Rockets, who do you think the best coach was? Would you say Ime Udoka or Rudy Tom Janovich? I'm not sure if that's a fair question because Rudy had Dream, and I think Dream would have made anybody look like a great coach. But he did go back to back. And MA is seems to need a little bit more time, but I think I'd have to give an edge to Rudy at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's just the edge. I think this is a landslide for Rudy. And obviously the window is very short for how Ime and his coaching career. But when you win back-to-back titles and you did and Olympic gold medals and things that he was a part of, I think Rudy wins this. This is not even a conversation.
That's a lot resume versus chops, though. Like, yes, Rudy T had a way better resume. No doubt about it. But was he a better coach because of his resume?
You think about how innovative he was, too, with the inside out and the way that he kind of constructed an offense to go inside out to get and surround the perimeter with shooters, which hadn't been done before.
No one was throwing the ball in the post and kicking it back out?
Not the way. He gets credit for being the innovator of the inside out system.
Look, I'm picking Rudy T here, but this is my opinion is more based on a lot of times we look at the resume versus the chops, and we think the resume is better than the actual chops. Give me a college basketball coach that has won a national championship that you think is a great head coach.
Krzyzewski.
He's won a national championship.
You said that has won.
Has not won. Yeah. Kelvin's never won a national championship.
He's
been close, but he's never won one. You picking Kevin Ollie or Kelvin Sampson?
I'll take Kelvin Sampson.
Chops versus resume. At least, in terms of national championship.
Okay, but what I would say is that, you know, yeah, Ime's made it to a finals. Ime, I think, for the way the game is played today and the parameters of how the game is played and the surrounding elements of it from back then to now, I can understand where Ime is a better coach for today's basketball than Rudy T, because he's not afraid to take players on head on, and he's kind of that guy that'll grab the bull by the horns. But Rudy did that back in the day. It was just different back then.
Sure. Like, I'm going Rudy too. Like, again, this is, I've now morphed this into a different conversation. I think a lot of times we give the resume over the chops, and we probably shouldn't. Like, if you're hiring a guy to be your head coach of whatever sport, are you going to hire a guy that was the best in the last 10 years, or are you going to hire the guy that you think is going to be the best at that moment going forward? And those things aren't always the same. They're not always the same. Like, people always, whenever they do this football coaching carousel and stuff, well, this offensive play caller was the number one offense in the NFL and all of these things. Yeah, he has a better resume, but resumes doesn't always mean the best person for the job.
Like Rudy had the ultimate superstars, too, but he had guys, no matter how great their reputation was and how talented they were, they listened to him. And then he took the Laker job and found a guy that didn't and would defy him and go behind his back and try to run the team all by himself.
Yeah.
And Rudy wasn't made for that.
Yeah. See, again, like, I'm with you. Rudy obviously is the answer here. I morphed it into something else. 713-780-3776. Right now, who's better, Texas or Texas A&M?
Texas.
Yeah, I'm going to go Texas there. Is Kenyon Green's problem skill related or all between his ears?
I think it's pass block related.
So that would be skill.
Yeah, there's skill to it, but I mean, just watching the game again this morning, how much he just got his doors blown.
I mean,
off
that
again.
That block he had before he got pulled, that whiff he had was just
say, was that a block?
Well, right, it's you could barely even label it as a block, but that whiff he had right before D'Amico pulled him was just absolutely brutal.
And when he came back in, he got spun around.
Yeah.
I would go both, but I do think that the mental aspect is playing its part. 0967, don't forget the Mixon is being used to control the offense. Last season, the Texans couldn't run to save their lives. It takes Diggs away. Do you, Scruggs moving to guard and Patterson taking center, or Patterson replacing Green? Patterson replaced Green yesterday.
Yeah. I'm not moving Juice. I'm leaving Juice where he is.
Unless you think that he's having trouble identifying the coverages and the reads.
Yeah, that's something that I personally wouldn't know, but I like the fact that I think he's done fine.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are you not ignoring in victory, what you wouldn't in defeat? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.